I'm Andy Chase.
I'm Eric Gillis.
I'm Mike Williams. I play the drums in Camera 2.
And I'm Michael Jaron.
The interesting thing about this band is you could go through about 40,000 bios of all the previous bands. You could go through the minuscule amount that actually is on this band. There is some, but you know, it's right at where you want it to be, which is for me to help people discover the brilliance of what you're doing. So each of you tell me something that's kind of revisionist history about this band.
Well, the four of us met in jail.
Jail? Which jail?
That's the first lie.
I can roll with this. Which jail?
No, it's actually interesting. The
Rikers?
Way
it's several different
yeah.
San Quentin. You never get out of, come on now, you know you never get out of San Quentin.
Well, here we are.
We did get out.
Wow.
We escaped.
Escape
actually.
Methodology?
It is sort of interesting. It's not in the bio, but the way we all met was kind of serendipitous. My old band Ivy was on tour and we took out an opening act called Astaire, and that was a guy named Bruce Driscoll and his sister, and Bruce became my best friend. His drummer is this British dude over here who's now our drummer. So on that tour he and I got to know each other, and this guy here, Eric Gillis, our Camera 2 bass player at the time, was the worst roadie that I had ever seen on that tour.
I was a roadie, and I was terrible at it.
He was horrible. He had a bad attitude. He's really skinny and small, so he can't carry very heavy things. He was also underaged, and so half the venues checked for IDs, and when they saw he was underage, he couldn't come in. So I ended up being the roadie. the band became the roadie.
This is so well told. One wonders if it's true or not.
I've never apologized about it.
This is quite true. And our next tour, I was voting to not have him come back on tour because he was such a lousy roadie. But there he was during our rehearsals, and our bass player Adam Schlesinger didn't show up one day. And we were going to bag the rehearsal, and Bruce, who was there and who had become friends with Eric from that tour I just told you about, said, you know, Eric, the terrible roadie, plays bass. And I was like, come on. And was like, even if he knows how to play bass, he doesn't know all our songs. And Eric said, well, I kind of do know all your songs. So he got up, played the bass. He was an unbelievable bass player. And here we are. So he's moved up.
Project, supergroup, new retail store. What is this thing?
It's sort of annoying that our past keeps following us. I hate those bios, you know, because it's like he was in this band, he was in that band, this guy was in that band, and it sort of diffuses the seriousness of what we're doing now. You know, it's like we're a bunch of musicians who've been kicking around. We've had bands of various success, and we kind of struck something here that resonated for all of us. Like Michael Jaron, you know, it was also serendipitous with him because I had a label for a while. I signed a band called The Postmarks to my label. They went on tour with Stella Star, Michael Jaron's ex-band. So it's just, there was some kind of serendipitous activity to the all four of us coming together. You know, I wanted to do something that was definitely harder edgy, at least edgy from my subjective, you know, perspective. I mean, I know everybody has their own idea of edgy, but I want to do something that was definitely more hard-hitting, maybe more a little bit more danceable, and just something outside the box of what I've been felt. I was just getting really frustrated, feeling like I was doing the same thing year after year, writing the same kind of songs, and it all sort of came together when the four of us went in the rehearsal studio, when some of the songs were still being recorded, but we had enough and we started playing them, and it just felt right. And so however much, you know, however visceral it is on the record, it's even more so, you know, live. And, you know, everybody says that. It's like, yeah, it sounds better live because it has more power and energy, but it's really true in this case. I've never had more fun playing music ever, which I thought things were downhill a few years ago, but this is like, for me, this is my favorite moment in my entire musical career.
Well, let's get rid of the people perceiving that a majority of this is in the box, because there's four people in this room, so obviously a majority of this is not in the box.
No, I mean, there's no way in this day and age that you can get four guys on stage and replicate the kind of music that we make on record. So there has to be a certain amount of backing tracks, and but we try to keep it... you keep the ear candy and all the like juicy parts we try to play, except for Eric, because he's roading during the show, so his bass stuff is on tape. Ben Badley.
He's roadieing at the same time.
You run circles around the venue, I don't know why.
But you really did write these songs with no band in mind originally, right?
It was written at a really horrendously horrible, horrendous, horrible, horrendous period of my life. And it was probably the first time I had no agenda, because, you know, in the past I had been writing songs for the last band that I was in, and I just, these were just songs that were expressing a period of my life, and I just thought, you know, best case scenario, they would be Christmas presents for my family, and I was sort of, yeah, and in a way, I guess, in retrospect, it's sort of the best way to be writing, is when you're writing, you have to, it's just pouring out. There's no agenda, there's no band that you're about to hand it over to. And that's maybe why what we're doing now feels, at least to me, more personal.
You've got a lot of content out there, and I hate to use that word, but I can't come up with a better word. But you've portrayed all of these songs in a massive way. You know, whether it's...
That was intent. That was
whether
a
it's your... Right. And
that was actual a concept.
And that's what I'm...
It started as a purely as an accident. What I'm referring to is the concept of having my son Julian in every single video. It started as an accident. Really, when we were talking about making a video, we were doing the generic thing every band says, like, let's save up our pennies, we'll get one kick-ass director, and he's going to do the important song. So that's what we were doing. We were looking for a director, and then our good friend Josh Stoddard, who ended up directing all the videos, said, you know, kind of sheepishly, can I do one video? And, you know, he was just starting out. So we said, okay, just don't pick an important song, you know. You can pick one that we don't want to make a video to. So he picked Wasted, So I'm the lead singer. I'm going to walk around talking about being wasted.
And there you are in Times Square.
It just seemed really, I couldn't stand imagining looking at myself.
Did you have a permit for that?
No, we didn't have a permit.
Of course you
did. Oh, yeah, we did. We had a permit, but
for the first
one. And then we realized, but all the subsequent videos, because we didn't have to show the permit on the first one, we were like, screw it, we're not going to have permits. So we decided it would look cooler to have a kid walking around the streets of New York singing about being...
Then you guys lip-syncing the
yeah.
Tracks.
So we were like... So we started talking about what kid. And I was like, well, you know, I got a kid. Let's use him. So we... cheap labor, you know. I can tell him what to do. I can boss him around. I can spank him if he's not doing what he's supposed to do. It was like he was the perfect choice. So we just did a guerrilla style. We went out on Times Square. We filmed Wasted. When we saw it back, we really had this epiphany, all four of us, and we realized let's actually do the same thing in every single video. Let's have Julian wandering around in different scenarios, and we'll follow him. And we had the cheap labor with the kid. And we had our best friend, Josh Stoddard, who was doing all the videos.
Yeah, but you had good editing.
And we had the same editor. We had our friend, Keith, who had it. So we were like, by the third or fourth video, we were like a well-oiled machine. And it was a blast. We went to places that were cheap. Like my friend had a country house in Pennsylvania. So we went there and we shot two videos in one weekend. And actually tonight, yeah, Martha's Vineyard. Yeah, and the one, actually, some of our favorite videos were done by David Dutton, who's a local guy here, and he's an amazing, amazing director. So he did our video Appetite. You know, he also did This Is Not a Sad Song.
One of the things you're quoted as saying, and I think it's really interesting that now we're sitting here, is that you decided to wait for a fan base before going out on tour.
I mean, we're all, you know, Eric is an amazing singer and songwriter. We all write. We all can sing. And, you know, I've been a producer since I've been, you know, making music. So the production side is easy and cheap. You know, we did it in our own home studios. But when it comes to the mastering, yeah, you go for the best. Right. And then, you know, we have a certain aesthetic, which you can hear on the record. So, of course, you're going to expect that there's that aesthetic is going to be brought to the live forum. And, you know, we have... As you'll see tonight, we have two enormous, like 72-inch screen TVs on stage, like playing, you know, kind of trippy stuff along to our, you know, during our set. And that, you know, that was Eric's our little roadie, now bass player, now marketing genius, because we're all about videos. We've made a video for every song. We've made a behind the scenes to the making of each video, and we've done a live in studio recording video.
So why not show it to people who might not
have
seen it?
So exactly.
And Julian had become such a part of the aesthetic of the videos.
He's kind of like the fifth Beatle.
Exactly. To not have him involved on the stage in any sense, and to leave that out for people who hadn't seen us yet, or even people who had, who might even expect it. I mean, it just seemed to me like tying him into it was something interesting and different.
He's camera five.
He's camera five. So Eric had this idea that we should go on stage and have these giant screens in stereo flanking each side of the stage and show the videos.
There's certain steps too. I mean, with the aesthetic that we're going for, I mean, if you play it in a small club with a crappy sound system and everything, that's not exactly how we wanted to present it. So we actually had the luxury of knowing some past experience and knowing what's a good idea and what's a bad idea and what's worthwhile and not. And when we present it, we try to present it the way that we actually want it to be seen.
And it took a long time to make these videos, and we're still not done. I mean, there's 12 songs we initially recorded. We've made 9 videos now for them, and 9 behind the scenes of each video. Yeah, and that takes a long time. So we've been busy making videos, sticking to that concept, having a blast doing it, and waiting for the right opportunity to go out and hopefully play for more than the bartender and your aunt. And so when the Walk Off the Earth tour was offered, it was perfect timing. We just finished our last video, and it couldn't have been more. It was just really meant to be. And now, and even their audience, and their what?
Now we're gonna shoot another one.
Yeah, and we're shooting another one soon. And their audience has been so receptive. I mean, basically the places are filled when we go. We're the first of 3. And who the hell shows up for a band you've never heard of, you know, at like 7:30, 7:50? But there we are. We go on stage, and there's like 1,000 people, 1,500 people.
That's a great way to introduce a band.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so we feel like
our
patience paid off, at least for now. Who knows where it's going to go? But, you know, so far, you know, our instincts have been leading us in the right path.
But how much play has it gotten in the places you're about to go to? In the UK?
We have never gone to Europe. This is our first tour.
Yeah,
this is Camera 2's first tour.
This is pretty wild.
We're in week number 7.
Wow.
And we have 1 week left.
Man.
It's all new.
Cool.
And
this is cool.
And in our careers, none of us have ever played venues of this size or to this many people consistently. In fact, I've never played this many shows in a row. None of us have. We're going to end up playing 30 shows in 2 months, We never knew what it was like to get to the point where you could be so intuitive towards each other on stage. And that only comes from playing again and again and again. Now we're going to Europe. Most of us have never been to 2/3 of the places we're going to, either on vacation or as musicians playing these places.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And it's 2 of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else in between. And what it is 40 minutes of solid, unheard of on the radio, 40 minutes of solid, uninterrupted segued music.